I don't know where Big B put them. He would know. We're going to look at 2 Samuel 17 tonight, 2 Samuel 17. This will be a simple message. This is about one thing, for us to understand one of those small characters in the Bible that play a kind of a significant role to some degree. 2 Samuel 17, verse 27. 2 Samuel 17, verse 27. The notes primarily have the purpose, by the way, of you having the text in front of you and any extra stuff. Maybe someday I will go totally just electronic. I don't know. All of this takes work, time, and a lot of time. I don't mind the work. T. Tom, I'd like one page if I could, please. Make sure I don't mess up. Let's all stand, please. I don't have the verses, I don't think, directly in your notes in order. So you're going to have to read along or just pay attention, and then we'll pick up with it. 2 Samuel 17 is this, thank you, sir, this beautiful text. It's, by the way, my wife says, how do you pronounce this name, Jenny? Barzillai. Boy, you pronounce it a long Barzillai. That's the Chicago. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to pronounce it how it's pronounced in Hebrew. I am the worst person, just so you know. I'm pretty good at Greek. I'm pretty good at Hebrew. I can read Spanish. I don't understand any of it. Here's the weird thing. I can pronounce words properly in three languages, but in English, I never learned how you learn to pronounce words. I grew up under the sight method where you memorize words, so if I see a new word and I don't know how to pronounce it, I have to ask her. All right, verse 27 of chapter 17. David is king, and things are bad. It says, and it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim. Have one of those kind of word names in it. That Shobi, the son of Nahash of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon. Now, this is an oddity. I don't know anything about it. We're just going to read it. But he came, and Machir, the son of Amiel of Lodabar. By the way, Lo is Hebrew for the word no. Dabar is the Hebrew word for word. Lodabar is almost like it's not a place. Or look at me, a nowhere place. Yeah, strange word. And then we find this guy mentioned 10 times total, but 8 times we'll look at tonight, Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogalim. And I am pronouncing that like Hebrew. They brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour. And the King James uses this language, parched corn. Corn would never be maize. It would always be some kind of grain like wheat, parched beans, lentils. And then it says, parch pulse. Some of this is a little fuzzy, but they brought a whole bunch of food. And they bought honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine. Everyone look at me. What's the word kine? No, 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 no. None of you King James people. What's the word kine mean? This is the reason you don't just read the King James. Nobody has that word. That is an uncommon word. Cliff? Yeah, exactly. It means cow. It's German. It's the German stuff hanging around in English. By the way, when I tell people English used to be German, they look at me like, yes, kine. Don't ask. My favorite is a couple of times in the Old Testament, you come across this word, milch kine. Two German words. It means a milk cow. All right. Well, anyhow, the point being is, verse 29, honey, butter, sheep, cheese of kine, for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty. in the wilderness. We're going to look tonight at Barzillai. I call him the blessed man, blessing. He is a blessing to David, and then at the end, he has blessed himself. It's a beautiful little story. It'll be short and I think helpful. Let's pray together. Father, I ask your blessings on this time tonight as we try to look at some very simple things. May this be profitable to us and for us. May our hearts be open. But Lord, I don't desire to do anything except to share with all of us a real special guy that's this very small, insignificant, but yet at one time in David's world had a major impact. Thank you for the story. Bless, and we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Introduction is simple. It was the worst of time for David. The worst of times. David had just had a daughter raped. By the way, raped by a half-brother. The half-brother then, 2 years later, was, somebody say the word, murdered. Correct. So a daughter had been raped. His son, half-son, half-brother, one of his sons had raped her. He was then murdered. The other son, Absalom, was in full-blown rebellion against his father. And look at me, folks. And David was losing. David had to flee. That's kind of the backdrop of the story. So David is on the run for his life. And in David's heart of hearts, he knows much of this was because of himself. That's the harder part. He had caused it himself. So Barzillai comes into our story in your notes. This is where Barzillai comes in. I say, number one, Barzillai came from somewhere. Nobody knows really where. You could spend weeks trying to determine this. Or maybe we would say nowhere. He's a Gileadite and he's from downtown Rogalim. Have you visited Rogalim? By the way, folks, I'm saying very simple things in your notes. So just, I want to make very simple ideas tonight, thoughts. Everybody comes from somewhere. Did you know that? Everybody does. Secondly, sometimes somewhere is nowhere. If you ask Pastor Warren, where am I from? Well, if you're from Chicago, I'm from the farthest southern place ever known in the state of Illinois. Yes, and you can drive about 150 miles farther south than I grew up. But for you, I've had people tell me Rockford is southern Illinois. Folks, Rockford's northern Illinois. It's almost in Wisconsin, Cheesehead Land. Anything not Chicago is southern Illinois. It's someplace down in the woods. Folks, I come from less than nowhere. I went to school in a town of 250 people in grade school, Fieldon, Illinois. It's a growing metropolitan area. I went to high school in a town that was 5,000 at the time. I think it's 8 or 9 or 10 now. A little bigger, but by the way, where I grew up was a farm. There is no town. I'll tell you Rosedale, but if you drove to Rosedale, there is no Rosedale. There used to be a town there in the 1800s. Folks, look at me. Everybody comes from somewhere. Sometimes it's not a very important place. And that's okay. In your notes. The where is important to us. It's important to us to know where we're from. You know, we get roots from that. The where is important to us, but not so much, or could I say it this way, in a different way to God. God doesn't really care where you're from. God uses people from all over the place. I'm just rereading for the third time a historical work. Sparky, I don't know if you've read Suetonius. Don't answer because I don't want to put you on the spot. Forgive me. I like ancient Roman historians. Suetonius wrote a book called The 12 Caesars. The number one thing in the Roman world was this. Where are you from? Who's your family? If you were from the wrong place, you were evil forever. By the way, the beautiful thing about the Bible is that just isn't the way it works. God is not really interested in where you're from. And can I say this? You say, Pastor, I don't come from a good family. God's not impressed with that either. God can do amazing things wherever you're from, whatever your family is. But in the Roman world, wow, they were interested in your family. They wanted to trace their roots back to way back in Roman history. It was big, important to them. Number two, Barzillai came with others. He came, we get no more mention of these guys, with two other guys. Not people that I would assume, especially since one of these groups were enemies of David. The group was. It comes with a guy named Shobi. I know everybody knows who Shobi is. The son of Nahash of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon. By the way, the Ammonites typically were Israel's enemies. And then, this guy here, Machar, the son of Amiel of Lodabar. Now, that word's mentioned later. But folks, that word means literally, look at me, literally means no word or probably came from no place. Dada, I've been in many places in the Philippines. Can I say this? I've been to some no places. Have you? You go up in those mountain province areas, Ifugao, you get up there and you're just like, I guess they have addresses, but I sure don't know what they are. I mean, you're in no place. But by the way, is that a bad thing? Well, that's where these guys were from. Barzillai came with others. By the way, this is all just simple. I say in your notes this, no one does it alone. No one does it alone. Tomorrow morning, I will not come to school. Tomorrow morning is my last rehab. So I got to get up early. My wife has to kick me out of bed or use a cattle prod. Sister, you know what you don't know what a cattle prod is, do you? I need to introduce you to a cattle prod with Cliffy. Trust me, he won't backtalk you again after the first time of getting the cattle prod. I got to get up early in the morning because I got my last day of rehab. I got to get up earlier in the morning because I got to go over to this lady's house and get some lumpia because I'm going to take it to the folks that work there as a gift. Why did I tell that story? Nobody does anything alone. You say, Pastor Warren, I am indispensable. Look at me. No, you're not. I have seen better people than anybody in this room, including me, go to be with the Lord. We're not indispensable. We don't do it alone. I'll come in here Tuesday morning. Mrs. Beasley will be in the class. She gets all the bad students. She beats them half to death for years, and then I get them after that. The ones that survive, I get. Can I say this? She teaches hard subjects. Sparky over here teaches history. She inhabits, she dwells in drama, so she's good at drama. You teach band, you teach what else, sister? Handbells, you teach government. Can I say this? People ask, how's your school? They think the school is me. Nobody does it alone. Everybody has it, but that's my point. My points are not deep. No one does it alone, friend. Everyone has a team. But even at home, everyone has a team. Talking to my older sister, she's had back surgery. She's probably going to have her left knee replaced. She has really bad problems with that left because of walking badly for 2 years. She messed up her knee. I said, Rita, and my sister, Dada, you guys know by the way, don't ever get impressed that Rita is nice. She is more hard-headed than I ever dreamed of being. She thinks she can have knee surgery and go home alone. No. If I hadn't had my wife the first 2 weeks, well, I'd have been in the hospital, correct? By the way, after the 2 weeks, I think I could have kind of survived. First 2 weeks, by the way, friends, you could not survive. You have to have people. We all have to have a team. Now, I just want to say this. There's people here that are good to my daughter, and I appreciate that. One of them is back here. Matt's mom. I'm not going to call her a real name. It's Matt's mom. That's what gives you importance. Matt's mom. She's good to my daughter. By the way, Mike, your sister is good to my daughter. Do you know that? She has taken upon herself to cook Jared and my daughter and the kids' food a couple of times. I mean, when she cooks, by the way, it's enough for two armies, you know. But my point is, nobody does it alone, friend. Everybody has a team. In your notes, it's usually an eclectic team. If you don't know the word eclectic, I mean, you know, it doesn't always fit together and look like it should work, but it's, you know, you choose people and people come along. Sometimes one or two of them are oddballs, yes. And I say this, usually it's a very large team. A church doesn't function without a team. I don't know who set up the chairs yesterday, but I know something. Somebody set up the chairs. Somebody cleaned the bathrooms. It wasn't me. By the way, I drove out here and the grass is cut. I know some people think we have the kind of grass that cuts itself. Somebody cut the grass. Somebody cleaned the, I was going to say head, but that's Navy speak. Somebody cleaned the bathroom. By the way, folks, people are working, hundreds of people, all kinds of people are contributing. When I go downstairs tonight, I'm going to have some food. Can I say this to you? You know how much of this food I cooked? I had somebody, Judy. Now, the only time Judy is ever bad to me, she sent me a recipe. Right, Judy? No, you didn't. I sent that recipe to you. Somebody sent me a recipe for maroon, which is a certain kind of dessert from the island of Leyte. I sent it to Judy, and I said, Judy, make it for me. I don't want the recipe. I want the food. Friends, then I told Judy, what else did I tell you? But, of course, I can't eat it, so you don't make it for me. Tom, show the pictures. Now, folks, I like history. The gentleman you see behind you, David McCullough and his wife, is one of the greatest historians, writers, not academic, of meaning doing academic research that you couldn't read. He was a phenomenal narrative historian. If you want to start in a book, 1776, brilliant book on the very beginning of the Revolutionary War. You will be, the guy writes well and he's beautiful and he's gone now, by the way. He died in 2023. That's his wife. By the way, both pictures are David McCullough and his wife. If you don't know who they are and you don't read, if you've ever watched a historical documentary, he's probably the guy speaking. Had a great voice. You say, why did I show the picture? Recently, I picked up a book by his called The Pioneers. It was his last book written. 1787. By the way, sorry for the history. 1787. Two things are happening at the same time. The Articles of Confederation Congress is just finishing up and disbanding, and we're moving into a constitution that we have today. That Articles of Confederation Congress was a total and complete disaster. Sparky, is that pretty true? They did one thing, in my opinion, good. Outside of Sparky, tell me what. Yes. They passed the Northwest Ordinance, which met above the Ohio River. Look at me, no slaves. And we started opening up what we call the Midwest. Ohio was the first state. I don't know how the order went. Probably Indiana. I don't know if Michigan went next, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois. They all went together. By the way, that's the reason the state of Illinois never had slavery, because of what the Articles of Confederation did. No slavery north of the Ohio. His last book, by the way, this guy behind me. Sorry. The Pioneers. You know what the book is about? The settling of Ohio and West. Yeah, brilliant guy. I'm reading about this. I bought the book. I bought the last book. He has a book out after he died called History Matters. And I really like him because I like his understanding of history. He's a brilliant writer. He's an honest but very beautiful writer. And I found out that you know what I found out? I thought he did all this himself. But he had three people that helped him. You ready for them? He had, first of all, his wife of 68 years that took care of everything. If you ever knew, he lived on like a little farm or something. He had a house, but he had down through the trees, down through the woods, he had a little one-room like cabin. He wrote everything in that little place, but his wife took care of everything else. Then he had a second guy that worked for him for many, many years named Michael Hill. Never heard of him. He was his assistant, and then I found out his daughter was his assistant also and helped put together the book History Matters after his death. You get my point? Look at me in the eyes. Nobody does it alone. Barzillai came. He came from nowhere. He came to do something, but he came with other people. It takes a team. All right, number three and four, I'll read together in your notes. Barzillai came when needed, and Barzillai came and met the needs. I love this text. It's so simple. Friend, you need a team around you that can fill in for you when you need help. And everybody needs help at certain times. David needed food. He needed something to drink. He needed rest. He needed some comfort. And here's Barzillai, two other guys we know even less about. And they come when the need was there, and they met the need at the worst time when David is fleeing from his own son. He's not knowing what's going to happen. He doesn't know if he's going to get killed, if he's going to be destroyed, but he flees. He escapes Absalom. And at a critical juncture, here comes Barzillai. In your notes, came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim. We'll skip the names, but there was Shobi, there was Machir, and Barzillai. Verse 28, they brought beds, basins, earthen vessels, wheat, barley, flour, parched corn, beans, lentils, parched pulse, whatever that means, honey, butter, sheep, cheese from the cows. Why? Here it is. For David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, people's hungry, weary, thirsty in the wilderness. Friend, everybody, this is the beauty of the story, is there was a need to be met. It was not a good time for David. You weren't going to get a promotion if you helped David. Because David didn't know how things were going to turn out. All through the scripture, you find this teaching, Galatians 2:10. Paul writing about the other apostles. Only they, the other apostles, would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Otherwise, I was already inclined that direction. Acts 11:27 gives the background of this. In these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth, we would say famine, throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. By the way, Claudius Caesar is not a religious language. He was the emperor of the Roman Empire from 41 to 54. He succeeded Caligula when Caligula was assassinated in 41. By the way, I love the story. I could demonstrate it. I will demonstrate it. By the way, no one thought Claudius would ever be emperor. Sparky, you know the story. So when Caligula is assassinated, he's already somewhat of an old man. He had some kind of impediments. The funny part is, I want to say this, for the Roman Empire, he was one of the best Roman empires in the first century. So he decides to run into one of the palaces. He gets behind the curtain, but he's not really very good at this kind of thing because his feet were sticking out. So a Praetorian guard runs in. He's assuming they're going to assassinate him. They pull that curtain back, and there he is, and he thinks he's going to die. And the guy saw who he was, and he just dropped down and said, "Hail Caesar. He's the next Caesar." By the way, somewhere between 41 AD and 54 AD, we don't have to debate the times tonight, Claudius Caesar, during his time, was a great famine. Okay? By the way, Claudius Caesar was assassinated by his adopted stepson by the name of Nero. Nice fellow that he wasn't. Killed a lot of people, including his own, you know, he killed anybody he wanted to, pretty much. Well, let's keep reading. Beautiful story here. I like this story. So it says, there's going to be this famine during the days of Claudius. Verse 29, then the disciples, every man, I love this, according to his what? By the way, some people had more money, some people had less. You know, I always compared it to this. There was before marriage, I had money. There was after marriage, I had less money. Then there were kids, I had no money. By the way, it's just true. You know, and you finally get rid of the kids and you think you're free, and then you get old and your parents get old. But, you know, it's the way it is. But according to his ability, they determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Jerusalem, or Judea, excuse me, which also they did. And they sent it to the elders by the hands of who? Barnabas and Saul. Later on, Paul's writing about the same thing, the offering for the poor folks in Jerusalem. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. On the first day of the week, the Lord's day, when you gather together, obviously let everyone lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Next page. I don't need to read any more of that. So, Barzillai, look at me, came and met in Eden. Now, friend, the man you're looking at, no man, no human can make it on their own. I've had people bail me out, people help me. Kevin Bowder, which is, if there was ever a person born as a geek, Kevin Bowder is that person. He has 2 earned doctorates. He's a smart fella. Kevin Bowder has spoken to me twice in the last few years, and both times in totally different circumstances, unrelated to anything here. Really, he came out, said some things to me. It was like, that's what I needed to hear. Chuck Ells is one of those guys. Chuck is always a blessing to talk to me. Many years ago, in a very dark time, a friend. Now, by the way, $1,000 is not a nickel today. But in the mid-1980s, $1,000 is a lot of money. I needed some money for a very specific thing. We didn't have the money, and I had a friend that came up. Can I say this? That's what we do. Barzillai came. There was a need. He met the need. Beautiful story. Number 5. Barzillai came back for a different need. And this is my favorite point is point 6, by the way, but point 5 I like because of what he does. Now we're down the road further. We're in chapter 19. David has won the war. Absalom is dead. David has won the war, so he's going to come back to Jerusalem. Now Barzillai shows up again. Second time he shows up. In verse 31 of chapter 19 in your notes, Barzillai the Gileadite came from Rogalim, and he went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now it says, now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of his sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man, meaning he was fairly well off. But the point being is now David doesn't need food. David doesn't need anything like that. David needs something else, and Barzillai is there to do that in your notes. For my opinion, this is wonderful. I'm going to say something positive about somebody in this room in a moment. By the way, I rarely brag on people unless it's so obvious that you would have to trip over it not to see it. In your notes, I say this is wonderful. The idea to honor. He came back to honor David. David had had to flee across the Jordan. Now he's coming back. Let's conduct him over towards Jerusalem. Let's honor David. That's a wonderful thing. It was also to show respect, which I think is very legitimate and helpful. It was to do this to and for another person, not for yourself. Now, today was Charlie Kirk's memorial service. I want to be very clear to you so we don't get real, or, you know, get all upset here. I really didn't know Charlie Kirk before 2 weeks ago. I'm sure I'd heard the name. I'm sure I'd heard Turning Point. Not bad, not good. I mean, I'm a conservative, but I just didn't know who Charlie Kirk was. I've heard a lot about him, and I've watched a lot of videos since then. And yes, AOC should shut her mouth and never open it again because she's a liar. I say that publicly. She deliberately lied and misrepresented. But I'm going to ask you, his service is today. I don't like services like that, because most of the time people don't go there to honor Charlie Kirk. They go there to honor. People have a hard time honoring somebody else. Charlie Kirk is one of the 10 most wise men on earth, and I trained him. This is, by the way, Barzillai came back to honor him, period. Look in the notes. The King James, Romans 13, 7. I love this. Render, therefore, to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Obviously, honor thy father and thy mother. Leviticus 19:32, which is got a weird word in it. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, meaning the older man that is due honor, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord. Very quickly, many years ago in this church, we had a guy sit, he would seated, Rhonda, he'd be in your seat, more or less where you're seated, but over this way. His name was Mr. Smith. By the way, I knew his first name. His first name was Floyd. I never call Mr. Smith Floyd. He was a World War II fighter pilot. He served in the military until he retired in the 60s. He was a retired colonel. Can I say this to you? You don't call a man older than my father Floyd. It's called honoring people. I met a guy here, Tim. I embarrassed myself with the guy because I didn't know who he was. It graduated with Carly and Brenna and the twins, the Smith girl. I didn't know her dad, or stepdad, actually. I walked up to him. I shook his hand. I said, who are you? I don't remember what he said, Smith. I don't know what he said past that. I said, were you in the military? He said, yes. I said, well, how did you? This is the dumb question I asked him. How did you do? What were you? Lieutenant General. Oh, is that all? Marine Corps? Really? Yeah. By the way, I went out to eat with him one time and he said this. I said, what do you want me to call you? Well, he says, you can call me whatever his first name was. I wasn't calling him that because I didn't know him that well. He said, you can call me anything but Mr. Smith. That's my dad's name. I said, I'll call you General Smith. You deserve it. Hello, I can't hear you. By the way, there's nothing wrong with honoring people. Do you realize two stories about Barzilai? One time he came to meet physical needs. Another time, David didn't need anything. Look at me. But Barzilai needed to honor David because that's what you do with the king. Yes, beautiful. I'm going to skip the next two verses. My thoughts are beneath that. Beware of anyone who never honors anyone else. Next, beware of anyone who can only honor himself or herself. My suggestions and encouragement to you tonight, Barzilai, yes, he met a need. And by the way, when I was younger, that would have been the story that I got. What I got this time reading this whole story was he honored David. We'll get to the second part in a minute. But honor, it was just as important. I'm going to conduct you over, honor you like was appropriate. I would say learn to honor others. Next, these two go together. Learn to show honor and learn to speak honor. That doesn't mean, by the way, Jim Duncan is a captain. I do not call him a captain in church. You say, why? Because it's a church. But in any setting where that is appropriate, I always would call him Captain Duncan because that is his title. He earned it. Now, some of you are like, a captain? What's a captain? Okay, that's fine. But my point is, we give honor to whom honor's due. Now, we have a man in this church. Do you know him? Raise your hand out there. Who shows honor to people all the time in this church is here tonight? Come on, you're looking around. By the way, it's not you if you're looking around. The old ugly guy over here that I pick on regularly. He embarrasses me how he shows honor to our widows. When's the last time you showed honor to a widow? I don't even think about it. We have special days. We have several widows here. Your grandmother, 94. Big old thing of flowers, all kinds of nice things. By the way, that's this man. I better back up. It might be actually Judy telling him. I don't know. But I want to say this. Not only I want to say thank you, it's good for us to learn to honor people. We live in a very dishonoring culture. It's all right to honor people that deserve honor. Yes. I'm going to tell a story of where I honored somebody. Look at me, everybody. Where I honored somebody. 2002 or three, I was in Detroit, near Detroit, actually, going to a conference with two pastor friends. The conference was like a three-day conference. We had to get up real early in the morning, get there at 8 o'clock. And by the way, I love conferences, but if you ever sit in a chair for 8 hours, after the third hour, you don't hear anything because your body is just... So we got there early. I said, we need to go get some... The driver, Ken Large and Pastor Large, said, I need to get gas. I said, well, let's stop and get some coffee or something so maybe I can be awake. Still remember the story. By the way, every sailor and every military person in this family, this ought to be instinctive to you. We pulled up. I got out. I was going to get Ken's gas. Not pay for it, just put it in the tank. I started the thing going, got it going, stepped aside, and I heard behind me on the other side somebody say something like, "Can you help me? Can you help me?" Like twice. You know, you never know what you're going to run into. I'm looking around, and on the other side of the pumps was an old truck that looked like it had been in the junkyard for the last 25 years. I look over there, and I'm not exaggerating, there's an old man, broken down, trying to get out of the seat of his truck. He can't get out of the seat of his truck. He's trying to get out. And he said it maybe the third time, "Can you help me?" Well, I figured then he needed help getting the gas. So I walked over and I said, "Yeah, I can help you. Yes, sir, I can help you." I got the gas. I said, "What kind of gas you want?" Opened the thing, put the gas thing in there. And on the back of the window was airborne. I'm looking at the guy. He's my dad's age. I said, "Were you in the airborne?" He was in rough shape. He said, "Yes." I said, "Did you ever jump in?" He said, "Yes, D-Day." For all of you that don't know what that is, they jumped in at night. He said, "Market Garden. Do you know those places?" I got news for you. He wasn't paying for that gas. When I got done pumping, he said, "Let me give you the money." I said, "No, I'm going to pay for it. Now, I'm going to confess to you, I never paid for it. Ken Largent already paid for it." You say, "Why? You think I'm going to honor a guy that jumped in on D-Day?" By the way, can I say this? We live in a dishonorable culture that we can't honor anybody but ourselves. Barzillai, if he hadn't have showed up, would anybody missed him? But see, it was my father was that way with people's deaths. He would always say, "Ralph, I'm going to show my respect." And can I say this? My guess is many of the older people in this room, your parents were that way. You honored other people. So I almost honored that guy from D-Day. Almost. Ken Largent beat me to it. Well, the best part of the story is last for me, but it won't be for you. Barzillai came back with no needs of his own. Years ago, I was talking to Marty Marriott, Dr. Marriott, Maranatha. He was the president. Now he's like emeritus. Folks, I don't get this. They call me almost every year and ask me to speak at Maranatha Baptist University one time. I'm honored. He told me, he says on the average week, he has 3 people a day calling to preach there. I'm like, what? What? Yeah, because people, everything is about themselves. Barzillai came back the second time to honor David, and he didn't want anything. He wasn't like, "Oh, David, look at me. I showed up. I'm the guy. Don't you remember? I'm the guy that fed you. Don't you?" No, he just showed up to give honor. And I'm like, people call you to preach at what? Now, I got a secret, but I'm not going to tell you the secret. You had to pay me money for the secret. You're the only one that knows the secret. How about that? About Maranatha. In your notes, it says, "And the king said unto Barzillai, come out over with me." Come on over. David wants to honor Barzillai. And he says, "I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem." You're going to eat at the king's table, Barzillai. Barzillai said, "You know, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, 80 years old. And can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant," I love this, "I'll go a little way over Jordan with the king. And why should the king recompense it me with such a reward?" What's he came back, but he wasn't looking for anything. He didn't have any needs. Verse 37, he says, "David, let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may dine in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham That's a nice name. Chimham? I don't know. Let him go over with my lord the king and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. If you want to, here's my son. He can go. Verse 38. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. Verse 39. And all the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai. Barzillai was a blessed man. He was a blessing to David. And now at the end, he's blessed again. He blessed him, and he returned into his place. The only other time the man, Barzillai, is mentioned is David is talking to Solomon at the very end. And David says in 1 Kings, but show kindness. By the way, anybody know? Chesed, show that loving mercy, that grace, that mercy unto the sons of Barzillai the Gilead. Why? And let them be as of those that eat at my table, for so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom, thy brother. The story is simply this. He came from somewhere, or where? He came with others. He came when needed. He came and met needs. He came back and he met for other needs. But he didn't come back with any needs of his own. He wasn't doing it. Look at me, friends. How do you like a call from somebody? Look at me. Do you ever pick up a phone call like this? Somebody calls and says, I don't need anything. I just want to talk. Can I say that at age 68, what I take away from this sermon, most of my conversations outside of here, when I call people, I start by this saying this. I don't need anything. I just want to hear your voice and have a conversation. By the way, it's a beautiful thing to honor somebody not trying to honor yourself. Father, thank you for this night. Bless our time. Bless the food, Father. Thank you for this time. We can have fellowship together, have some good food. Thank you for all that's going on tonight. May we learn to meet those other needs of honor. How could we not honor Mr. Smith, P-38 Lightning pilot from World War II, all the way through Vietnam? Lord, so much. So many. I remember at the Legion, there used to be a man that had been on Iwo Jima. I think he's gone now. But Lord, that's humbling to be around men who have served in those places. May we be the kinds of people that know how to help and come alongside and work as a team, but also to come alongside to honor occasionally, but not to honor ourselves, just to be an honor to someone else. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.